Jesus gives us today the doctrine of the cross. The doctrine of the cross. You may remember last week that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Peter spoke up on behalf of all of the disciples, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now in this subsequent passage, Jesus explains what it means to be the Christ, the Messiah. It means that he will take up his cross and suffer and die for our sins, and then on the third day, rise from the dead in the resurrection to give us eternal life in him, the doctrine of the cross, which, of course, Peter can't understand. They can't fathom yet at this point. And Jesus considered Peter an obstacle to stand in the way of the doctrine of the cross. So I would be pretty sure that most of us could articulate in those few words what it means that Jesus took up his cross and rose again, the doctrine of the cross. I think even our children have that sense and are able to explain that central teaching of our faith, the cross and the resurrection. What may be more challenging for us is how we envision we ourselves taking up our individual crosses and following Jesus. We might have ways of saying that, maybe taught by our parents and grandparents before us, as in when you meet with some difficulty or inconvenience, offer it up, or make the best of it, or stoically grin and bear it. Now, those are helpful words, I suppose. They don't make the way of the cross terribly interesting or inviting. It's a rather dull-sounding way of following Jesus. So my question today would be, how can we envision following Jesus and taking up our share in his cross in a more exciting, inviting, and joyful way? After all, there's no such thing as a sad Christian. We are joyful to be followers of Christ. How can we articulate the doctrine of the cross in an inviting way that would lead other people to want to do it, to follow Jesus? Well, I think our readings help us today. For example, when Jesus says, those who try to hold on to their life, they're going to lose it. But those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. That suggests that there is another kind of life in store for us as we take up the cross and risk our lives. Here, the Greek language comes to our help. The Greek language in which the Gospels and the New Testament are written, the language that Jesus would have known. And in the Greek language, there are a number of words for life. So when Jesus says he who wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever forfeits his life for my sake will find it, the word life there is psyche. That's the kind of life that we get for our bodies when our souls are joined to our bodies. That's ordinary human life that we treasure so much and we want to protect and get the most out of it while we're here. That's the kind of life Jesus says. Now, if you just want to protect that life and get the most out of it for yourselves, you're going to lose life in some way. There is another word for life in the Greek language that refers to a higher form of life whereby the upper part of our soul, which in the New Testament elsewhere is referred to the spirit, that's the upper echelon of our soul, which is receptive to God's eternal divine life in us. And that word, we borrow the word, just like we borrow the word psyche, that soul, body, life. The higher form of life, we borrow and get the word zoology. Now, in English, it refers to animal life, like in the zoo, but that's English. But in the Greek language, zoe refers to that higher form of life that is receptive to God's eternal life, and that's how God intersects with us as human beings. So when Jesus says, if you lose your life for my sake, that psyche life, that ordinary life on earth, soul and body held together, if you lose it, and it may result in death, the separation of body and soul, you will gain that higher form of life, that zoe life that is open to eternal life. And when Jesus elsewhere in the Gospel of John, for example, says, I am the resurrection and the life, that's the word zoe, that eternal life. Or when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's the word. That's the higher form of life that Jesus wants us to gain back. So when we take up our cross, Jesus says, the Son of Man, when he comes again in his Father's glory, will repay you with that zoe form of life. But here's the rub. It's not just, let's take up the cross here. I've got my day-to-day job. That's my carrying of the cross. At least I get paid for it. That's still rather dull sounding. It's not that we carry our cross and then we get our pie in the sky kind of life afterward where he says he will repay you. Well, he'll repay you with interest, but furthermore, Jesus wants us to experience that heavenly life even now. And here, it just so happens that in our reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Living. Living is that word where life is activated. And that word living is based on that zoe kind of life that Jesus talks about. That's the highest form whereby our spirit is responsive to. And as we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, that means we're living that psyche life as a sacrifice, and at the same time, we are experiencing that zoe, higher form of life, the same time, going on. We are living a living sacrifice, he says. And that is a way of living not in conformity with this world, but whereby our whole soul, body, and spirit is being renewed here and now. That's the power of the teaching of the doctrine of the cross. So how can we live in an inviting and joyful and zealous way, this complete Christian life, with these levels of life in us? We don't have to invent the cross for ourselves. It will come to us automatically, and it does. You know it, and I do know it. We're experiencing it right now in our society and world. It'll come to us in all kinds of inconveniences and sufferings. But How can we live it with joy? Well, let me give you this image. You're doing it right now. You are in the community of God's people, shaped in the sign of the cross. Every church has some kind of implication and design of the cross in its layout. You can see it right here. That's the cross right here. So you're being here. You're just being here today. Shows that you are living this living sacrifice, experiencing that divine life even here and now as you are there. As you hold to the regimen of our Christian and Catholic life, you are in this living sacrifice. As you hold to our faith, our Christian and Catholic faith, as you hold to our worship, as you live the Christian life in its moral teachings, as taught by Christ and handed on by the apostles and the church. And fourthly, as you live your prayer life, you are this living sacrifice. And to me, I find joy in that. I find that inviting, an exciting way of life. I highly recommend it. In the coming months and years, there will be no shortage of opportunities. Simply by holding to this regimen that I detailed, you will walk the way of the cross. No matter who gets elected in November, there will be the opportunity to witness the way of the cross. At best, people might understand what we're doing, but we will be understood by many. We will be misunderstood by many. And at worst, we will be accused of being hate mongers by people who just don't understand the truths that we hold to. But following Christ, we love our neighbor as ourselves. We love God and love our neighbor. We love all people, even those very different with different perspectives and attitudes. But we love them so much that we want to give them the truth, sometimes at the cost of inconvenience and difficulty and suffering. And as we look back in our church's history, countless examples of people simply by identifying themselves with fidelity to the Christian and Catholic life. They were shipped off into exile, concentration camps, put in prison, suffered death, and so forth. No end to the martyrs, simply by holding to the regimen of the Christian and Catholic faith. And in return, we experience that divine life now. And in the future, opening up for us into an even more glorious existence.